Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. This is your host, George Muniz Gund. First of all, apologies for the late release of this episode. I usually try to do one episode a week, and last week, once again, I got pretty busy and ended up not releasing an episode, but I have an episode for today, which is about why many autistics have different styles of masking and patterns, and then that those are tailored to specific individuals. So it's not really one mask. When we talk about masking, we're not talking about one, and this can vary by person, but at least in my experience, I don't have one mask, like one neurotypical mask when it comes to like how I present and how, what kind of expressions I make and what the general mood is when I'm communicating with someone. It depends a lot on the other person. I feel like I catch myself masking, because there are different parts to masking. There's camouflaging, which is hiding autistic traits such as stimming or something I used to do a lot was forcing eye contact until I accepted to myself that eye contact is really overwhelming and stressful for me. And if I have the option of, and it actually helps me listen better when I don't make eye contact. So if I have the option of not making eye contact, then I'm allowing myself to do that now as an accommodation. But it's interesting because like there are camouflaging behaviors such as hiding stims and such, and the only reason that I catch myself still hiding stims is because of other people, because I've noticed that when I allow myself to stim, it throws people off, and a lot of times it seems to make them uncomfortable because they're not used to seeing people stimming, and it kind of triggers this kind of response from them where they're like put off by it. And I can understand that they're having that response because they're not used to people openly stimming. But it makes me uncomfortable when I feel like the other person is uncomfortable. So then I end up repressing the stims because of that. Because I'm also at the point, you know, as I've been doing neurodiversity advocacy and talking to so many different autistic, ADHD, dyslexic, OCD, neurodivergent in general individuals over the last few years, I have addressed a lot of internalized ableism. And I think, you know, internalized ableism is something that we always, it doesn't end, you know, it's always, you're always unpacking more and more, as with internalized racism and sexism and other forms of oppression as well. But my point is, I've done more, I have 2 to 3 years now, I have about 2.5 years of unpacking internalized ableism, even towards myself, and that is what has allowed me to more openly stim, and not force myself to make eye contact when it's uncomfortable for me sensory-wise, and it also affects my ability to listen to what the other person is saying and process it if I'm having to focus on holding contact with them. And then I also have the experience that has come up with other autistics I've spoken to as well, with ending up making people uncomfortable by making too much eye contact, because it's really hard to gauge. For us, it's really hard to gauge. We don't have that automatic gauge of like how much eye contact to make. How much is enough? How much is too little to the other person? How much is not enough? So that's another reason why it's so helpful to just eliminate that perceived obligation anyways. And it's really annoying how a lot of people are forced to do it for their jobs and are forced to do it at school and in so many situations where they shouldn't be forced to do it, because by avoiding eye contact, their brain is actually being allowed to work the way it works. And I will say this is not true for everyone, but for a lot of people, a lot of autistic, ADHD, and etc., people that I have spoken to, and myself, it is easier to focus if we are not making eye contact. It is easier to actually digest what the other person is trying to communicate to us if we're not constantly, think back to so many times where like I've been forced to make eye contact and other autistic people are constantly forced to make eye contact, that which is not only really stressful and painful sensory wise, but we're forced to do it with this idea that it's gonna mean that we're paying more attention, and it actually means the opposite. Particularly if you're autistic and ADHD, the ADHD plays in where if you focus on one thing too long, you're gonna end up hyper focusing on that. So I'm hyper focusing on this person's eyes, and I have no idea what they're telling me. It's just words, and I can't. It makes it so I actually can't understand them. So that's something that I think society really needs to understand. Anyways, this episode has kind of taken a little bit of a turn. I'm still going to talk about masking styles and patterns, but I ended up talking a little bit about certain things, about eye contact, which I think is really important to discuss. But anyways, back to the topic of masking styles and patterns. So I've come to realize, also through support groups with other autistic adults and having these conversations with other autistic adults, that it's the reason why, one of the reasons why big events like birthday parties, having big birthday parties where a lot of different people that we know from different walks of life, from different, what I mean by that is people that we've met through different places. Like you have your, like for me, I have friends that I met through school. I have friends that I met through advocacy. I have people that are family. I have friends that I met through my family that are like family friends. So like when I have a birthday party and I invite all of these different people, like they're all, not only are they all uniquely different and individual to them, like based on their own backgrounds and experiences and personalities, but they're like different subgroups of people that I know from different areas. So it's like I'm having to wear different masks. It's like I have different masks, as I was touching on earlier, depending on each person or each like group. Like I could group my acting friends into one group, even though they're all a little different. Because I hang out with multiple of them at the same time on occasion, I feel like there's sort of a mask that I wear that's tailored to them. Like I've noticed, like what their communication styles are and how they perceive me, and just like kind of like how I act around them, essentially. And then I have different masks that I wear for family friends, for my advocate friends. And my advocate friends, I'm actually the most unmasked around, because it's just us purely stimming and avoiding eye contact and info dumping about our special interests. It's us just being like as freely autistic as possible, which is wonderful when it's safe enough to do it. Like, it would be wonderful, like, the goal of the whole neurodiversity movement is that eventually there can be enough acceptance and awareness together in society of neurodiversity and different ways of being, and no standardized one mold, one way that we're told is the correct way to be or behave, and people will be able to stim openly and just be openly autistic without the fear of being misjudged, misperceived, or ostracized, which can happen often. And it's really stressful, because, like, you would think, like, at my birthday party, I should be able to feel free to just unmask altogether, but that's still not the case, because with family and friends that are not autistic or are not part of, like, my advocate group or whatnot, even though they're actively learning and unpacking their internalized ableism, and, like, they're trying to... I know that they're trying to... support me and understand me, and, you know, not force me into things that are very rooted in neurotypical culture and don't really account for the way the autistic brain works. Like, they're trying to understand, and I know, like, they believe, but it's still, I just can't completely, like, unmask around them and stim and, like, be, like, have loud vocal stims and fidget and just, like, because it's just, I know it's gonna, even if they don't say anything, I know it's gonna throw them off. They're gonna, like, I'm also so hypersensitive that I can pick up on these little things and that these little behaviors from other people that they themselves might not even pick up on. And so once I pick up on that, even if they're not, you know, judging me or scolding me or, you know, bullying me or whatever, I can tell that they're noticing it and they're off-put by it. And that's maybe not even their fault, because, as I said earlier in this episode, people just aren't used to seeing people openly stim and whatsoever. But, you know, it's still going to throw them off. And then that, in return, because I'm so hyposensitive to these things, throws me off and makes me uncomfortable. So that's why I know, like, I go into a big event, like a birthday party, even if it's my birthday party, even if I get to pick and choose everyone that's there, they're still all different, and they're still subgroups of people. And what I've come to realize is that for me and for a lot of autistic people, and I think this is how I might start doing my birthday parties in the future from now on, is that it might make more sense to have different gatherings for different people. I think for a lot of us, not speaking for every autistic person, but, like, in my experience, for instance, I like the idea of having several little dinners or gatherings with, like, my different groups, like my acting friend group, like my advocate group, like family, like family friends, like do those, maybe even merge family and family friends, like do, in this case, three different gatherings for these different groups of friends, because that's less stressful in terms of, like, rather than the neurotypical style party, which is like everyone together. And not to say that there aren't autistics that do it like this and enjoy it like this, but it's more rooted in neurotypical culture, which is like having everyone together, and that might work great for some people. But for me, what I'm noticing is that it, and I've spoken to other people that feel the same way, is that it's too much stress. It's too much like, okay, like unfortunately, in this society, and this isn't about like, oh, this person is accepting, that person is accepting. It's just, it isn't normalized yet. Like, openly autistic behaviors aren't normalized enough yet. So we can't just be ourselves without being perceived or having people be put off in some sort of way, even if they intend well. And that creates too much stress, and that means that we're always going to, like, I'm always, until there's a significant shift in society, I'm always going to feel like I have to mask to some degree, even during my birthday parties. And so if I separate the groups and have different parties, it's only one kind of mask that I have to focus on for each party, which is a lot less stressful, as you may imagine. So that's a big conclusion that I've just had on this episode. So this episode kind of seems to have gone in a few different directions, but I actually quite like it. I'm still trying to like keep an emphasis on the main points that I want to talk about, but anyways, I just kind of like how this flowed into something else, but I was able to really develop on it. So I hope you were able to get something from this. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you next time.